We know that the presidential election this year, the whole process has triggered all kinds of unprecedented questions. And today we take a look at Barack Obama and his historic candidacy. What has it meant for the African-American community? Questions about whether Obama symbolizes a new generation of African-American leaders have certainly come up time and again. The question is, has the baton been passed? To talk about this is joining us now is Matt Bai, a New York Times correspondent who's just written the article, Is Obama the End of Black Politics? It will be in the New York Times Magazine this weekend. Also joining us is Takeaway contributor David Wall Rice, a psychology professor at Morehouse College in Atlanta. So welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
Matt, so has the baton been passed?
Well, I think it's in the process of being passed, if that makes sense. I think there's been a generational transformation happening for a while in African-American politics, as it does in all communities and in politics in general. But I think what Obama's campaign has done is really to thrust that transformation more out into the open and expose it and accelerate it and create some tension that might not have been there otherwise, because people had to choose up sides early on, which doesn't always happen in a generational change. And I think if you look at
you
the
mean
black
you're talking about people had to black folks had to make a decision as to whether or not to support Obama or to support Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, and I think if you look at the other black politicians around Obama's age, and I interview many of them for the piece, if not him, we would be talking about other politicians in the years to come. But you will have, I think, over the next decade, a new class of black politicians who are winning statewide offices and representing much broader constituencies than they have in the past, regardless of Obama.
And what makes them different? What makes Obama different from previous leaders or this new group, as you describe them? What makes them different than prior?
Well, I think, again, it's a transformation that happens in a lot of communities, and part of it is about the ambition to represent broader constituencies, whereas this generation of leaders that came before, really, their best option was to represent chiefly black constituencies, either in Congress or as mayors. They were limited in what they could actually aspire to because of the political climate in the country, no matter how talented they were. And I think that changes the kind of representation you get. And just as we once had Irish politics or Italian politics that was focused very much only on the community, those constituencies became part of Democratic politics and part of American politics because they really mainstreamed. And I think when that happens, there are trade-offs because you get these visible leaders representing much broader constituencies, mm-hmm. but you also can lose that focus on the issues that particularly affect that community, and that's especially critical in the black community, where you do have these very high rates of poverty and difficulty, and also disparities with mm-hmm. the white population in a whole host of areas.
Let's bring in David on this conversation. David, in your mind, Obama represents the opportunity to talk about some of this evolution, but this notion of generational shift in terms of the priorities of national black leaders has really been going on for a long time.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, a lot of the things that we're talking about, and, you know, Matt wrote a great piece for the Sunday Times, but a lot of those folks that he's talking about are folks that have been in the mix for a long time. I mean, you know, I wrote articles for Vibe magazine that referenced, you know, Cory Booker and Harold Ford and Jesse Jackson Jr. and the like 10 years ago. So certainly
the new generation.
The new generation, mm-hmm. yes. So certainly we do see some type of generational shift, but I think that the question that is posed, at least in Matt's article, is Obama the end of black politics? It's certainly not the case. I think it provides, you know, race oftentimes provides, you know, an opportunity to look at problems or opportunities. So certainly Obama offers an opportunity for us to look at the different wrinkles and textures and nuances of black politics. And certainly, you know, what we're looking at right now and what we're talking about very much is mainstream politics. You know, if we talk about, you know, Obama, Deval Patrick, Arthur Davis, Michael Nutter, you know, all those folks are mainstream. And I think that, you know, they also are personalities. And so, you know, if you're looking at personality politics, it becomes important to look at how these individuals have been socialized. You're looking at, you know, the vast majority of them are coming out of Ivy League institutions. And so there's a different type of base that these individuals are operating from than perhaps a generation before. However, there are still individuals that hold tight to some of the ideals and fundamental issues that black folks are concerned about. If you look at folks like Kevin Powell, who's running for the 10th congressional seat in Brooklyn, of course. If you look at Otis Moss III, who is, you know, head of Trinity Church in Chicago.
And you're referring to a whole batch of even younger, I mean, they're sort of in their early 30s or younger. But let me just hold you there for 1 second, Dave, because I want to go back to Matt. In your article, you do reference that there is a distinct difference of where the politicians, like, say, John Lewis from down south, he was part of the civil rights movement, and that was his launching point. And many other black leaders, elected officials, have come out of a church background, have come sort of through the ranks in a very community-driven way, and how that's very different for those post-civil rights leaders, the young ones we're seeing coming up now.
It really is, and it's possible, you know, and I try not to in the piece to make too much of this and to draw too bright a line, because, you know, obviously there are a lot of shared values and shared experiences, and it's not adversarial in every way or even in most ways. But there is a real difference of experience here because of the way they've grown up. There's an interesting conversation in the piece with Cory Booker, the mayor of Newark, you know, and who's sort of a national sensation, and he talks about his experiences with racism and the generation of politicians like himself or an Arthur Davis or Barack Obama or many others, and you know, he discusses experiences that really for him stressed his otherness around other white kids, that they wanted to feel his hair, that they wanted to compare their vacation tans to him, and clearly these were actually searing experiences for him and people of his generation, because he saw himself as not that different from his classmates, and these were experiences that made him feel very different. But it's a whole world different, as he pointed out to me, from his parents or his grandparents or some of the congressmen I was talking to who'd been beaten about the head and who'd had to enter through whites-only entrances and couldn't eat at the same restaurants. So, you know, you have in every generation in America and anywhere, of course, there's a difference in experience, but here you really have this massive chasm in a pretty short time because of the success of the civil rights generation and the changes they brought about, and that is bound to create some turbulence politically.
And David, isn't that what we see now, and it can be described as an expansiveness of black politics, as you've said?
I think so. I mean, I don't think of it in terms of a chasm so much as really, again, the complicating of the black experience and the black political experience. I mean, you know, so many times there is this idea of who is our black leader. So is Obama the black leader, or is somebody like a Deval Patrick and a lot of list of other folks who are in mainstream politics? And I think that what becomes important is to look at the breadth and depth of political leadership and to look at how that very much is, you know, looks like the mirror of America. I mean, if you look at the leadership in other types of communities and within the white community overall, and you hear this all the time, you're not looking for one specific leader. You're looking at different types of leadership. And I think that what Obama's presidency looks like is that it provides us an opportunity, again, to look at the wrinkles and the nuances and the complications of black politics.
The nuances. Matt Bye, New York Times writer and author of Is Obama the End of Black Politics? Thank you.
Anytime. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. And his article, by the way, I should note, is on the New York Times website at the moment. And David Walrice, takeaway contributor, thank you, sir.
Thank you. You take care.
And David Walrice is also a professor at Morehouse College in Atlanta.
What an interesting discussion of politics growing up and reflecting a diversity within a community that's
evolving.
Been looked at.
Yeah, very much evolution.
So. We're always on at the Takeaway. You can catch up with us on our website as well as Facebook and Friend Feed. Lots to see and do. There's lots going on the Veep Stakes. Be sure to check into that.
Does anything get dropped in the process? I think John Hockenberry actually had that right at the top in this new generation of black leadership. Let us know what your take is on that at 8778-MY-TAKE.
Here's our takeaway from this hour.
When you go out for dinner with your friends and you burst into tears when somebody mentions your husband's name, that's not good for the social event.
That's Virginia Eskridge from Pittsburgh, who was diagnosed for complicated grief. We talked about how grief is something more than just needs getting over.
And you can learn more on our website, thetakeaway.org.
I'm John Hockenberry.
And I'm Adora Udoji, and this is
The Takeaway.
The Takeaway.
The Takeaway, that's right, The Takeaway.